Okay, good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Kuf Tes Zayin, and Meretz Hashem will finish Hamakabal today. We are going to pick up about six lines down at the beginning of the line. So it says, Tanya Kavase Rav Yehuda, that we learned in a Braisa, like the opinion of Rav Yehuda. And if you remember, Rav Yehuda is the one who held that when you're dealing with Rechayim V'Rechev, when you're dealing with the two parts of the mill, where you have the upper stone and the upper stone being the Rechev, and you have the lower stone being the Rechayim, so we discussed that Rav Yehuda's opinion, as distinct from that of Rav Huna, was that if someone is Chovel, if he takes as security a Rechev and a Rechayim, so he's over on an Isser for each, because the Pasuk says, Osachbo Rechev Rechayim, but he's not over on the more broad Isser of Kinefeshu Chovel, because the way Rav Yehuda understood was that Kinefeshu Chovel was coming to cover other matters that are not Rechayim Rechev, versus Rav Huna, who understood that a person would be over if he took a Rechayim Rechev from a borrower as security, he would be over on all three. So the Gemara wants to say that we have a raya, a braisa that goes like Rav Yehuda. What's the raya? So it's actually, as Rashi takes great pains or lengths to explain, the raya is going to come from two braisas together, looking at them together. So we're saying as follows: Chaval zug shel saparim, that if he took as security a pair of zug shel saparim. At least, according to Rashi, seems to be talking about a pair of scissors that, like, a barber would use. Now, the nature, as we encounter this in Gemara a number of times, the nature of a pair of scissors in Talmudic times was essentially, it sounds almost like maybe two knives, and you'd put them together, and then with those two things together, you could snip things. But technically speaking, each of these things is a kli in itself. In other words, imagine if literally you had two knives and then you had some way of connecting them to make scissors. The fact that you've turned it into scissors doesn't take away from the fact that you have two different kelim that are combined in here. So he took a zug shel saparim, v'tzemed shel paros, or he took the Rashi first seems to say that it's actual paros, but then he says v'linir, I think. He says, "Venira beinai." He says that rather we're talking about the ol that it goes on top of them, so the yoke that goes on these paros. So in any event, we're talking, and the significance of an ol that goes on the paros is also that it's comprised of two different components that could be considered a single object or broken apart separately. I'm sorry, Moshe, we're on the seventh line down. On Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. Sorry. Okay. So he took this pair of scissors, or he took this yoke. Chayev Shtayim. He's over on two lavim. Ze ba'atzmo, v'ze ba'atzmo. Ze ba'atzmo, ein chayev alachas. If he took only one of them, meaning if he took one of those knives that makes up the scissors, or he took one of the parts that makes up the yoke, then he's only chayev on one. Now, at the moment, this doesn't prove anything, according to the way Rashi understands, this doesn't prove anything about Rav Yehuda's halacha, because it's not talking about Rechev and Rechayim, which is somewhat specifically the halacha that Rav Yehuda was discussing. Furthermore, it could be, as Rashi explains, that they're over simply on two lavim of kinefeshu chovel. In other words, we're not talking about rechayim v'rechav, which are referenced specifically in the pasuk. It would be the idea that he's just over on two lavim of kinefeshu chovel, and that would not be a riot to Rabbi Yehuda. But we're going to need this first brisa when we come back in the end, as Rashi explains. So therefore, we have the first brisa that says that if you take a pair of scissors, you're over on two lavim. If you take one piece of the scissors, then you're over on one lav. Okay, v'tani idach, we have a second braisa that says, chaval zug shel saparim v'tzemet shel paros. It's the same case that he went and took as security from the borrower a pair of scissors or this yoke comprised of two separate kelim. Yachol lo yehei chayev ela achas. I might think that because this a pair of scissors. You might could say, fine, it's made up of two knives, but at the end of the day, it's one pair of scissors. So I might think that you're only chayav one. Talmud Lomer, therefore it says, lo yachvo rechayim v'rechev, that you should not take a security rechayim v'rechev, the parts of a mill. Ma rechayim v'rechev shehem yuchadin shnei kelim, that just like rechev and rechayim are unique. I'm sorry, rechev and rechayim are unique, that there are two kelim v'osa malacha achas, but yet they do one function, because if you think about it, if you have two stones of a mill, they turn on each other. If you have one, you can't grind any wheat. So this is something that, although it's comprised of two separate kelim, it does one malacha. But nonetheless, v'chayev al zeh b'fnei atzmo v'al zeh b'fnei atzmo, that the Torah tells you that you're chayev on rechev and rechayim, even though to function as a mill you need both of them. But since they're independent kelim, you're chayev on both. Av kol dvarim shehen shnei kelim yuchadin. So too, anytime you have something that has two unique or distinct components, v'osa malacha achas, and they do one malacha, chayev al zeh b'fnei atzmo v'al zeh b'fnei atzmo. They are chayev on both. Okay? So what exactly is the raya? So between these two brisas, we now understand it. Because the second brisa is telling you that rechayim v'rechev is the same halacha of zug shel saparim, that it says that it works together. And yet you see that the halachas that we're saying between rechayim v'rechev are similar, the halacha with the scissors and the rechayim v'rechev and a mill are the same. So therefore, if we only had the second brisa, Rashi explains, that we wouldn't know it, because we might say it's simply coming to tell you the halacha that you don't lump the two together because they're used together. In other words, you don't say that because the two knives are together to make a scissors that is just one. That's the chiddush of the second brisa. But, so it's the first brisa that tells you that they're similar, and yet you're only over on two lavim, which would be similar to the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says, rechayim v'rechev, you're over on the two lavim for the two components, you're not over on the broader kinefesh u'chovel. But I needed the second one to tell me that you in fact can compare the cases of the millstone, rechayim v'rechev, to a case of a scissors. But when you take it together, you see that rechayim v'rechev are the same halacha as scissors. And you see that in the case of scissors, you're only over on two lavim, which would be not two lavim for kinefesh u'chovel, but rather two lavim for the two component pieces. So what do you see? You see that the maximum number of lavim in the case of rechayim v'rechev, just like the case of scissors, is two. And that was Rabbi Huda's halacha, because Rabbi Huna is the one who said you would be over on three. Okay? So now we've brought a raya tani de misayel Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, hahu gavra the chavol sakina the ashkavta mechavrei. There was this person who took as security a sakina da ashkavta from his friend. What's a sakina da ashkavta? Rashi seems to say. Rashi says shel beis hamitpachayim shemekabtsim by basar. It's a knife that they use in the butcher store to cut up meat. Other Rishonim learned differently, and I think, well, I'm spoiling the suspense for the future, but later on the Gemara talks about the fact that they worry about a pagam in the knife. So I think other Rishonim understand that what we're talking about here is a knife that you use to shecht, because that's where pagam, although theoretically maybe the butcher doesn't like pagam in his knife either. But so Rashi learns that way, other Rishonim learn that it's a shochet's knife. So this person took it as security. Also, the kame de Abaye came in front of Abaye. Amrulay, he said to him, "Zil ahadre, you have to go give it back to him." Dahave le klisha osim ba ochel nefesh, because, and this I guess is why Rashi, I guess a butcher's knife is closer to being ochel nefesh than a shochet's knife. So there's a either way, but in any event, he's saying that this knife is tied to ochel nefesh, and we know that you cannot take something, kinefesh uchovel, you can't take away something that he needs for his food and his sustenance. So therefore, Abaye said, you have to go give it back. Nice try to get this thing as security, but it hasn't helped you. V'ta kum bedina Allah. And you have to go into din with him. In other words, so normally, if you've taken security, what you can do is you can go against the security and you can sell it eventually, and you reimburse yourself. But now he said you have to give it back, so therefore he has no security, and he's going to have to go in and enter into a din Torah with this person. That was a bias halacha. Rava argues and says, Lo tzarech lemekim b'din Allah. You don't need to go into din with him, and in fact, you can get the money. You can get the money not from the security, but for the security. We'll see in a minute. He says, "V'yachol litan ad kadei demayan," that you can claim without having to go through the whole lawsuit up to the value of the item that was taken. In this case, the knife. What's Abaya's svara? I'm sorry. What's Rava's svara? Rava's svara is as follows: that kivon demashkinei. Rashi says that since he's taken this as security, ve'ein edim shemashkino, and so even though it might be a wrongful taking of security, but there are no edim that he took it, right? So hayayachol liton lekucha hibiyadi. He could have claimed, I bought this knife. So therefore, lo tzarech lemekim bedina ilave de kanale mashkon lishava velito ad kadei damav. So he says that basically the idea is as follows, is one that we're familiar with, of Migo. He's saying as follows, that the person could have said, in other words, what happened? He had gone and taken this knife. No one saw him take the knife in particular. And now, but he went to Abaya or Rava and he was talking to them about it. He told them he took it. Rava's saying, since no one can demand on you that you take it back, and if they were to demand on you that you took it and say, wait, that's my knife, you could have said, I bought it from you, right? Which would be a better claim, because we know that if someone's holding an item and the guy says that's mine, unless he can prove it, we say it goes in the hands of the one who's holding it because of chazakah that it belonged to the person who's holding it. So therefore, it would have been a better claim. We would have believed him if he said I bought it. So because he could have said I bought it, which would be a stronger claim, therefore we're going to believe his weaker claim that in fact he's owed the money, and that's the reason he took it as a mashkon, and therefore, because of the migu, we're going to allow him to collect up to the value of the item that he took, even though he shouldn't, or it was an item that he might have to give back, but the concept is it proves that in fact he's owed that amount on the basis of a migu. Okay? So that's the machlokas of Abaya and Rava. Abaya says you have to give it back because you weren't entitled to take it, and therefore you have to go sue him for the full value of whatever he owes you. And Rava says, no, because he has a migu that he could have said, I bought it, therefore he's believed to say that the only reason he took it is because he's owed money, and therefore that establishes that he's owed money at least up to the value of the item. Okay? So the Gemara wants to know, Abaya lesle ahi svara. Why doesn't Abaya buy that svara of migu? Because what's the difference? How would he distinguish the case that we know? Mehanu easy the achli chushla benardai. There was a story of these goats that ate chushla in nardai. What's chushla? Rashi says saorin klufin, peeled barley. These goats went in and ate barley. Va'asa mare the chushla, and the owner of the barley came along and saw that this guy's goats had eaten up his barley that he had peeled and I guess put out to dry. And so he grabbed the goats and he was saying, these goats, I'm going to keep them because these goats ate up my barley, and therefore I'm going to keep him. Right? And the father of Shmuel said, Yachol liton ad kadei demayim, that he can claim from him before he gives him back the things up to the value of the goats. So you see this concept, and why can you do that? Because we're going to say migu, that he could have said that I bought, no one saw him take the goats. He could have said I bought the goats from him. So therefore, we would believe him. So if we see from the story of the goats in Nardai that we do give someone a migu when they could have said I bought it, and instead they're saying it was a loan to me. So why did Abaya not learn like Rava that there's a migu? So we say Hasam lav midi da avda oshle ula ugure. He says because Abaya is going to tell you the reason I didn't apply the migu is because the migu applies in the case of the goats of Nardai. Why? because a goat is something that, generally speaking, you don't lend someone and you don't borrow. I guess a goat doesn't do work, so you don't rent a goat, and people don't lend their goats to each other. Why would they lend their goats to each other? So therefore, he's believed because he could have said that he bought it and he didn't. But hacha midi da avid la shule la gurehu. But in the case that we're talking about this knife, it is something that you borrow, that you do sometimes borrow or rent. So what's the significance of the fact that you might borrow or rent it? I'll explain this better in a moment, hopefully. To shalach Rav Huna bar Avin, because Rav Huna bar Avin sent, dvarim ha'asuyim lahashil ulahaskir, v'amr lekuchen heim biyadi einar nemon. That if you have something that is commonly lent or rented, and instead this guy says that he bought it, he's not believed. Right? So why is that? It's because the concept of believing a guy when he says, in other words, if someone's holding an item and he says, I bought it, we believe him. What's the reason? Because we say, why is it in his hands except for the fact that he must have bought it? So therefore, the fact that it's in his hands gives him a chazaka that he is the owner. Right? But if So in other words, that whole thing is based on why is it in your hands if not for the fact that you bought it. So therefore we believe him. We give him that chazaka. But if it's an item that's commonly rented or borrowed, so then the answer is why is it in his hands? Because he borrowed or rented it. Not because he bought it. So therefore if he claims I bought it, we don't believe him because the chazaka only makes sense if you say, well, why else would it be in his hands if not for the fact that you bought it? But if there's a perfectly good explanation for why, so then the chazaka falls off. If the chazaka falls off, then instead we look at a different chazaka, which is the one that says the marakama, that the last person who we knew was the owner. So who was the last person that we knew was the owner? The guy he took it from. So therefore, what Abaye and Rava are arguing about, they're not arguing in the concept of this migu. What happened was Rava applied the migu. Abaye didn't. So we say, well, Abaye, why didn't you apply the migu? Because Abaye will tell you, what's the migu based on? The migu is based on the fact that I could have said I bought it and I would have been believed. But Abaye says, in a case of a knife, it's something that's commonly lent or rented, so you wouldn't have been believed. So he's not arguing on whether you would say such a migu, whether the concept of this migu exists, because he agrees. We see it by the case of the goats of Nardai. So they're not arguing about whether we would make such a migu. He's just saying the migu doesn't apply in this case because a knife is something that's borrowed or rented, and therefore we don't believe him to say that he bought it. And if we don't believe him to say that he bought it, then the migu falls apart. So that's the machlokas Abaye and Rava. The Gemara says, okay, that's very good, Abaye. So you're saying I agree conceptually with the migu, but I'm not going to apply it here. Because the migu falls apart, because we wouldn't actually believe him if he said he bought it. So what does Rava say? Rava less luhai svara. Does Rava not hold this svara that if something is commonly rented or borrowed, that you would not believe him to say it's purchased? Vahar Rava apik zuga de sarbala v'safra dagadita miyasmi bedvar masim lahashul lahaskir. So he says, but Rava himself, we see that he holds of this halacha that you would do not believe someone who's in possession of something simply because that you do not believe someone when he's in possession of something if it's the kind of thing that's commonly rented or borrowed. And how do we see it? Because Rava took a zuga de sarbala. Zuga de sarbala is Rashi says misparayim shegavzin bahen semer, and the Rishash says big day semer. So it's some kind of scissor that they use to cut things off of a garment. So Rava took out this pair of scissors, the scissors on wool, or he took out a sefer of agadata. He took it from Yisomim. So even from Yisomim, what happened? The owner said it's that I lent it to the father of these guys. He didn't have any proof to that, but we said we took it away from the Yisomim. Why? Because the Yisomim had no, because the fact that the Yisomim were in possession of it didn't prove that it was theirs, because this is something that is commonly lent or borrowed. People used to lend Sefrei Agadah, they used to lend these wool scissors. So Rava actually holds of this theory of Abaye, that we distinguish between something that's commonly rented or lent and something that's not. So the question is, so why, if Rava holds of that, And so Rava and Abaya both agree with the Migu. Rava was applying the Migu, Abaya was not. Abaya said the reason we don't apply the Migu is because we're dealing with a knife that's commonly rented or borrowed, and therefore there's no Migu. But we say, wait, Rava also holds up that theory that if it's commonly rented or borrowed, there's no Migu. So why did Rava apply the Migu? So we say, Amlecha Rava, Rava would tell you, Hainami kiven de mifkema kapti in shivala moshli. He says, no, because you are assuming. When Abaya is saying the reason I didn't make the migu is because a knife is something that's commonly rented or borrowed, Rava would say that's not true. Because why don't people lend their knives? Because if the knife is going to get nicked, if you understand it to be a shochet's knife or just generally a butcher's knife, maybe he doesn't want to get nicked. So because people find that when they lend their knives, they end up getting nicks in them and they don't want nicks in their knife. So therefore they're makbid on each other and they don't lend it to each other. So if it's not an item that's lent, then you would believe him to say he bought it. If you would believe him to say he bought it, you have a migu. And once you have a migu, then even if he shouldn't have taken the item to begin with, we believe him because he could have, otherwise, if he was a liar and a cheater, he could have said, I bought it. So he must not be a liar or a cheater because he's making a lesser claim of saying that it was owed to him. Okay? Hadron Lacha Makabal. Okay. Before we start the perk, I'm just going to take a quick minute here to just discuss some logistics of the next few days. For those who've looked ahead, Daf Kuf Yud Tes, which is Monday's daf, is tiny. It's a few lines. And then that's Monday's daf. And Tuesday starts Baba Basra. But the Rav wanted to start Baba Basra. And the plan is to have a Siyam, Mirtz Hashem, Tuesday night. And then we'll begin Baba Basra, or before or after the Siyam at some point, we'll do the first daf of Baba Basra. So essentially we have no daf to learn Tuesday morning, and Monday morning a very small one. So the plan, unless anyone doesn't like this plan, or I should say unless a lot of people don't like this plan, we're gonna for the next, so we have tomorrow, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we're going to do about an Amud and change. They're long Amudim anyway, and maybe we'll go a little more in depth, but the plan would be that we're going to slow ourselves down so that we have something to do each morning from now through Tuesday, and then Emir Tashem, the Siyam on Bav Metzia and the Haskalah Bav Basro will be with the Rav when he's back on Tuesday evening. Meretz Hashem, we'll have more detail that comes out.
So we're meeting Tuesday morning then?
Tuesday morning we're going to meet to finish what would be Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis. So basically, tomorrow we'll do Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, Sunday Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, Monday Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, and then Tuesday morning Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis. So you'll do a blot and a half in Meretz Hashem on Tuesday. That's the plan. Okay, and if anyone has a better idea, I'm happy to hear it afterwards. Anyway, Abayas v'Haliyah shel Shnayim shenaflu. So you had a structure, and the structure had a bottom and a top, and it belonged to two people. Rashi says, for example, you had two brothers that divided their father's assets, and he had this building, and one brother took the upper level, and one brother took the lower level, and now it collapsed. And the question is, Rashi points out that everything from the roof, in other words, there's a dividing line. There's the roof of the bottom structure, or the floor of the top structure was the same thing. He says anything from there and above, the building materials belongs to the guy who lived in the aliyah, in the attic, and anything from that floor/ceiling and below belongs to the lower guy. And so the question is, how do they divide those materials? So the Gemara says, Shneim Chokim Beitzim V'Avanim V'Afer, that basically they divide everything equally. They divide the wood, they divide the stones, they divide the dirt, whatever it is that fell down out of this house, they divide it. And Rishonim discussed, but roughly according to Rashi, in proportion to the height. So if each of them had a 10-foot structure, they would divide it evenly. If one guy had 15 feet, the bottom guy had a 15-foot ceiling, and the top guy had a 10-foot ceiling, then you would divide it 60-40. You would however the facts were. Okay? And then the Mishnah continues. The Gemara is going to ask that it seems to be a steer of sorts or inconsistency, but it continues. It says, V'roen elu avonam ha'suyas l'shtaber, that you see which stones are likely to have broken. So what are we talking about here? Is that now they're coming to split up all these building materials, and there's going to be some of the bricks or the stones broke, and some are whole. Obviously, each of them would prefer to have the whole bricks rather than the broken ones. So we're going to see, as Rashi explains already at this point, that how do you tell which ones who should get the broken bricks. So we're going to say, well, it depends. We're going to look at how did the wall fall. If the wall fell, it just collapsed in place, right? So first of all, the top stones fall and the bottom stones would break them. But Rashi says, more importantly, chances are the reason the wall fell is because the bottom bricks became broken, right? So therefore, if the whole thing just collapsed, so we're going to say the broken bricks belong to the bottom guy. And the top bricks that are unbroken belong to the top guy because his stayed on top. The other ones were on the bottom. Conversely, if you look and you see, Rashi says, imagine you put a stick in the ground and it falls over, it goes far away, right? So if you have the wall just fell over, so what's going to happen? The bottom bricks are going to fall a little bit. The top bricks are going to go all the way in the air and they're going to smash down on the ground. So if the wall fell in that way that it looks like it fell over, so then we would say the broken bricks go to the top guy because his went the farthest distance and fell, and the whole bricks would go to the bottom guy. We're going to examine this more in the Gemara. That let's say one of the guys recognizes some of the bricks and says those are mine. He takes them and we deduct it from his cheshbon. The Gemara is going to first of all figure out exactly who claims what, that we believe the guy, and B, what does it mean that we take him off the cheshbon? Okay, so the Gemara says, midiktani roin, from the fact that we said Rowan, that we figure out why, on earth, whose stones were broken. We look, did it collapse in place or did it look like it fell over? Mechlad, the ikum will make a malayu. The ikum will make a malayu, bechavtanafel. So it implies that we're dealing in the mission with a case where we're capable of figuring out, did it fall bechavso, which would be like by a collapse? Or did it fall by being pushed? Did something push it over and the wall just fell down like that? So it implies that this is a case where we're able to figure out. If so, Reisha Maichokin. Then why does it say in the first part of the Mishnah, the first part of the Mishnah says if these things fall down, you split them, everything evenly. You split the wood evenly, the stones evenly. It doesn't distinguish broken whole. So in other words, the question is, why does the Reisha seem to say you divide it, everything proportionately? And then this seems to say that no, you don't divide it proportionally by the height of their respective units, but rather you figure out how did it break. So if it's something that's capable of figuring it out, then why in the ratio do we say you just divide everything proportionally? Nechzi ibechavta nafol, that look, did it fall by being pushed over? In which case, al yisa itbar, the top ones broke. Or Rashi explains that maybe it's the far ones that broke, meaning the ones that fell the far distance. Ibechavta nafol, or did it collapse? In which case, the bottom bricks are the one that broke. So in other words, the Gemara is saying, the Reisha says you divide everything proportionally. And then the middle case says you figure out whose stones were who. So the question is, why would it say proportionally if you in fact can figure out which stones were which? So the Gemara says, the reason you don't know which bricks are which is because it fell at night. So you're not sure. You're not sure whose bricks broke. The Gemara says, okay, big deal. V'lechzinu b'tzafra. So in the morning, you'll look. Does it look like a pile of bricks that the thing collapsed, or does it look like a big mess where a wall fell over? So the Gemara says, depaninu, that some people moved it. It fell in the night, it was in people's way, or whatever, they wanted to help them out, so they moved it off to the side, and now you can't tell how did it fall. So the Gemara says, v'lechzi man paninu v'lechaylei. So he says, okay, go find the guy who cleared it out and ask him, was it a big mess across the whole thing or was it a pile of stones? So the Gemara says, the Panina B'nei Rosh Hasharab. No. There were a bunch of people passing by. They saw the house fell down. They wanted to help him out. They helped him clear away the stones and now they left. And we don't know. V'azul la'amo, they went off to the way and we don't know who they are. So we don't have anyone to ask. So the Gemara says, V'lechzi b'rshus d'man yasvin. So the Gemara says, I'm still not convinced, because what happened? These stones got pushed off to the side. Now granted they got pushed off by regular people, but we're dealing with a circumstance where we don't know which are which. So why not say that whoever's chatzar it ended up in, whichever one of the two of them's chatzar it ended up in, because they cleared it off to the chatzar, so you say that's who it belongs to, and the other guy has to be in Motzumecha Ve'el Varaya, because you say this guy, whoever's chatzar is in possession of all the rocks, and therefore, obviously he can't take all of them, but he could say the whole ones belong to me, and the broken ones you can take, and otherwise if you think it's different, bring a raya, Motzumecha Ve'el Varaya. So the Gemara says, and I'll explain to you why the ratio of the Mishnah says you divide them proportionately, and we don't We don't divide them based on any of these reasons we said before. We're talking about where they cleared it off. Not only was the house of both of theirs, but the chatzar was both of theirs. So therefore, there's no one who can say, I'm mukhzik, I'm in possession, because it's in a chatzar that belongs to both of them. Inami, alternatively, I'll give you another answer, that brishus harabim, that there's not in anyone's rishus. The house collapsed, people helped clear it off, they put it in the rishus harabim. V'ibay seymor, I'll give you another terrorist, shutvim b'chi agavna l'kapti adadi. They're saying, when you have the brothers or people that they're sharing the same structure, right? So the what happens is, let's say they each have a chatzar next to it, they're not makbid on each other. If you're sharing a house, you could share a chatzar, and therefore they put things in each other's chatzar. And therefore Rashi says it's like they each have ownership in the chatzar of the other, and so even though the people came and cleared out the stones, and they might have cleared it into the chatzar that technically belongs to one of them, it doesn't really belong to one of them, because since they're not makbid on each other, we treat it as if they both own the chatzar. So in all three cases, it's just coming to explain to us that the case where our Mishnah said that you divide it proportionally, and you don't try and figure out who owns the stones, is talking about a case where it fell down, you don't know who cleared it off, it was nighttime, etc., etc., and you can't prove it from the chatzar, because either it belonged to both of them, it belonged to neither of them, or it belonged to one of them, but it's as if it belonged to the two of them. So that's the Gemara's answer. So, but basically, if we can figure out whose stones are whose, then we would. But if we can't, then we don't, and instead we rely on the proportional division method. Okay. Im haya echad mehen makir. We said that if one of them recognized some of the stones, then he's entitled to take those stones that he recognized. The Gemara says, v'halo matoin. So he says, okay, let's understand this. One guy comes along and says, those rocks are mine. Those bricks are mine, the whole ones. So what does the other guy say? Eid the kamer in. If he says, yeah, okay, fine, those are yours, then pshita. Then of course the guy who recognizes them can take it, because the other guy's not fighting him. He says, vi'ilo amar in. If he doesn't say, yes, they're yours, and he's fighting him, lamanota. What right do you have on earth? Why? Just because one guy says, those are my stones. How do I know that? You didn't prove it. So what's the case of the Mishnah where it seems we just take the guy at his word? Ella, the Amrle, any Adea. So rather, it's a case where he said, I don't know. One guy said, those are my stones. And the other guy says, I'm not such an expert. I can't tell. I have no idea. So therefore, what are we left with? That's a case of Bari Veshema. And we know that when you have one guy saying, those are definitely my stones, the my bricks, the whole ones. And the other guy is saying, I don't know, maybe they're yours, maybe they're mine, I can't tell. So we know, Bari Veshema, Bari Adif, that if you have one guy who's certain and one guy who's uncertain, that the guy who's certain is better, and therefore we'd give it to him. So the Gemara says, and we've encountered this concept a number of times in Bav Metzia, so we say, Lema Tevet Tiof Tadar of Nachman. So maybe you should say that our Mishnah, which seems to say you believe the guy who's Bari over the guy who's Shema, so why not say that this is a Tiof Tadar of Nachman, the Itmar? Because we learned in the Braisa, Manali Biyadcha, Vahala Amar Eni Odeya, that one guy, a guy comes up to someone else and says, you owe me $100. And the other guy says, I don't know, maybe I do, maybe I don't. So one guy says, Bari, one guy, Shema, Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Ami Chayev. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda say, he's Chayev, because Bari, Veshema, Bari Adif. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, Amri Pater. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan say that he is Pater, because Rashi says, Uki Mamona Becheskas Mari, that you keep the money in the hands of the owner, because simply being certain in your assertion doesn't mean that you have the right to take the money from the other guy. Although Rashi points out, v'tzarchli shavash eni adeya. That, in other words, think about it. It's very easy. In other words, if we're going to say, according to Rav Nachman, that you're putter, so anytime someone comes to me and says, oh, you owe me $100, so I don't want to lie. I'm not going to say, look him in the face and say, no, I don't. I'll say, I don't know. Right? And then, according to Rav Nachman, you're a putter, in that case, from paying. So that's much easier than having to deny it. You just say, I don't know. So therefore, Rashi points out that the person who says, I don't know, according to Rav Nachman or Rav Yochanan, who's going to be putter, still has to swear that I really, really don't know. I'm not just saying, it's not like I know that I owe it to you, but I'm saying I don't know so that I can get out of it. Okay. So we see that Rav Nachman does not buy into the argument that when you have Bari Veshema, that Bari is sufficiently adif, that the certainty is enough that we're going to take it out of his hands. And yet you see here that the guy who's certain, those are my bricks, the whole bricks are mine, we let him take it. So the Gemara says, no, we'll answer that it's not a tiyufta on Rav Nachman. because in this case, it's not a regular case of Bari V'Shem and Bari Adif, but rather, or it's not a case of Bari V'Shem and Bari Adif, that's not the reason for the psak that we say that he's entitled to his bricks. What's the reason we say that he's entitled to the whole bricks? Kedam Rav Nachman, we had this before, like Rav Nachman says, Kigon Sheyesh Esek Shvua Beinem, that there's Esek Shvua Beinem, so Hachinami Kigon Sheyesh Esek Shvua Beinem. So in our case also, we're going to explain it, it's not a din of Bari V'Shem and Bari Adif, but rather it's a case of Esek Shvua. What's Esek Shvua? An involvement in Shvua, and we had this before, and the Gemara is going to explain, Hechi Dami Esek Shvua. What does it mean Esek Shvua? Kedarava. Like Rava said, Dami Rava said, Manali biyadcha. What's the case? I walk up to a guy and say, you owe me $100. Vahalo Amar, the other guy says back to me, Ein lecha biyadi ela chamishim. He says, I think I only owe you 50. The other 50, Vashar, Eini Yedea. I'm not sure. So, he's not saying I don't owe you the other 50. He's saying, look, I'm only aware that I owe you 50. The other 50, maybe I do, maybe I don't, I don't remember. So then, what's the halacha in this case? So we know that the halacha is, generally speaking, if someone is moda b'miksas, if someone admits part of a claim, then in order to be pater from the second half, he has to swear, right? The problem here is, he can't swear. So he admitted, I said you owe me $100, he said I for sure owe you 50, so he's moda b'miksas. So what would normally happen in a moda b'miksas? He would swear on the other 50. But he's saying, any day, I don't know. So therefore, because he's saying any odeya, so we say, well, you're supposed to swear in order to be putter from the other 50. Since you're not going to swear, we're going to say that, sorry, you have to pay, because that's the halacha. If you're supposed to swear to putter yourself and you can't swear, then you have to pay. So he's saying, mitoksh any yachal yishava, yishalim. That because he's not able to swear, therefore he has to pay. So we're saying that that is the case that we're dealing with. That's the case that we're dealing with here. So it's not a tioftan Reb Nachman, because it's not a case of Bari V'Shema Bari Adif, but rather it's a case of where his Shema is accompanied by a partial admission. He says, yes, some of those stones are yours, and some of them I don't know, but the other guy says, I'm sure. So it's not Bari V'Shema Bari Adif, but rather since he admitted that some of the stones are yours, and the other ones he said, I don't know, he can't swear on the ones he said, I don't know, so therefore he has to give them up, and he has to give them to his brother or his partner. But it's not a stira on Reb Nachman, because Reb Nachman was objecting to the argument that simply Bari V'Shem and Bari Adif. In this case, the reason, the stones that the guy says, I don't know, the reason he has to give them up to his brother, who says, I do know, is because he also was a modeh b'miksas, and he's not in a position to swear because he doesn't know. The Gemara says, v'olos lo mena cheshben, that if he takes these whole stones, they come off of the cheshben. So, sabar rava lemeimer lefi cheshben shvuros. Rava was thinking to say that basically, what happens? We divide them up equally. We say, here, you get this many proportionally, you get this many proportionally. But then, if one guy says, I recognize those 10 stones are mine in your bucket, I'm going to take them and I'll give you back broken stones. That's what Rava thought is the case here. So basically, when they're olos lo mena cheshben, means he gets to take whole ones against ones that he otherwise would have taken that are broken. So amo kiven damer eni yedea rei tvei. So what do you see? You see that the guy who says, I know for sure that those 10 are my stones, that, and the other guy says, I don't know, that he's in a worse position. So Amrle Abaya, so Abaya says, Adraba, Horai Tve, Midahani Yada, Tve Lo Yada, Su Lesle. So he says, but that doesn't make sense. I'm sorry, I'll explain it outside first and I'll read it inside. Abaya says, no, it's the opposite. He says that the guy who says, I recognize those 10 stones, we're saying you get the advantage because you used to have, let's say, 20 whole ones and 20 broken ones by the proportional split. And now you're saying, I recognize those 10, so we're going to give him those 10 and give the other guy broken ones. So the guy who says, I recognize the 10 is ending up better off because now he has 30 whole ones and 10 broken instead of 20-20. But the Gemara says, Abaya says it should be the opposite. Why? Because if he says, I recognize those 10, he's showing himself to be someone who can recognize stones. And if he only recognized those 10, so you say, okay, perfect. You said you recognize those 10 stones. Those are your 10 whole ones, and you'll get 30 broken ones. So he's saying that why are we making the guy who says, I recognize those 10 stones better than the guy who says, I don't know? The guy who says, I don't know should be better because the guy who says 10, say, okay, you recognize stones, you recognize 10 of them. That's what you get. You get 10 whole ones. So Amar Abaya, Adarav, it should be the opposite. Horei Tvei. That the guy who says, I recognize these 10 stones is worse. Midahane Yadi, because he knows these 10 stones. Tfei lo yada, he doesn't know any more than 10. Su less leid, so he shouldn't get any more than that. V'idach, the guy who said, I don't know, kulo dahayach nenu, that he should get all of the rest of them. So in the case we were saying, instead of the guy who says, I don't know, getting 20 and 20, and then we said that maybe they take away 10 of his whole ones, and he ends up with 30 broken and 10 whole ones. We say, no, instead he should get 10, he should get 10 broken ones and 30 whole ones, because the other guy only recognized 10 whole ones. So Abaya doesn't like Rava's Cheshbon. So El Amar Abaya, that when the Mishnah says that it goes against the Cheshbon, is Lefi Cheshbon Shlemus. It's according to the Cheshbon of Shlemus. So what are we saying? That let's say the case we said before is 20 and 20. They each were getting 20 whole ones and 20 broken ones. So what happens? He walks up to his friend after they divided 20-20 and 20-20. He says, oh, I see among your whole ones, I recognize 10 of those are mine. So we say, okay, fine, you can have those 10. But then what does he need to do? He needs to give him 10 of his. So then the Gemara asks, Ihachi, Maika Mahani Lay. So then what's the point of this whole exercise? Everyone wants more whole stones. If you're just saying, I recognize those 10, so I'll get those 10. I'll give you 10 other ones, but they're all the same. So what do we accomplish? The Gemara says, no, they're not all the same. Lemalbina Ravcha, we're talking one case of where you have wider bricks, which are better bricks. So the 10 that he recognizes are better bricks. So he says, I'll give you the junkier bricks, and I'm going to take the 10 that I recognize. Inami, alternatively, Tina de Ma'abda. We're dealing with Tina's clay, the Ma'abda that's been worked. So it's saying that certain bricks are better than others. Rashi says, the more you mix the bricks, the clay before you make the bricks, the better the bricks are. So same concept. He's saying that the 10 that he recognizes are a higher quality brick than the 10 that he doesn't. Okay, Habayis v'Aliyah. You know what? We'll stop here, and so we'll pick up tomorrow again. Tomorrow, Meretz Hashem, we'll do mostly Kuf Yudayin Amud Beis. Sunday, Meretz Hashem, Kuf Yudayin Amud Aleph. Sunday, Meretz Hashem, we'll do Kuf Yudayin Amud Beis.